Bible reading tonight comes from John chapter 12, reading from verses 1 to 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a liter of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him.
You know, if you're a new person to this church, you might think that's really weird. But isn't our culture a funny thing? We are an aviary of birds. Really exciting tonight. Emma's our intern here, our youth intern, and I've had the pleasure of working with her all of this year on youth. And part of that internship is obviously giving her opportunities to use her gifts to serve the church. And one of the gifts that we've really noticed in Emma is she's an incredible communicator of the gospel. And we're going to actually get to see that tonight for the first time in this setting. But we've seen it, those of us who are youth leaders have seen it at youth for sure. So I'm going to pray for Emma. She's going to share the word with us tonight, but why don't we all join in praying for her? Father God, we just thank you for your servant, Emma. We thank you for her heart for you, for her heart for other people, to know you, to love you, to serve you, to grow in you. We thank you for the way that you've gifted her, for her gift of clearly communicating to people and yeah, we just really pray that tonight you would calm her and settle her nerves, give her a peace that comes from you. God, we pray that that your spirit is at work through her and that we are challenged and inspired as we open up this awesome passage tonight. And we just pray over her in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Cheers, Todd. Sweet. So, you guys know in those early 2000s, late 90s movies where the movie starts with like a really confusing scene. It's like you don't really know what's going on. The character's in some sort of kooky situation. Then everything freezes and there's like a record scratch. And it's like, now, you're probably wondering how I got in this situation. Let me take you back to my first day of junior high. And then it has like 3 weeks earlier. Well, I think we got to do one of those for this passage because we've just stepped into like a moment where Mary's pouring perfume all over Jesus' feet and it's hard not to be like, what is going on here? So we actually have to go back and look at Mary's relationship with Jesus. The Bible actually talks a fair bit about Jesus and his relationship with Mary as well as Mary's brother and sister, Martha and Lazarus. We can see they have a really close relationship going on, the way they talk to each other, the way they communicate with one another. It even says Jesus is really comfortable in their home. There's the classic story of Mary and Martha where Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, just listening to his word, hanging off every word. And then Martha's over in the kitchen, freaking out, being like, oh, we've got to get this food for all these guests and stuff. And she even gets so frustrated, she just goes to Jesus and she's like, do you even care? Like, I'm over here busting myself and like Mary's just sitting at your feet and she's not even helping me. Jesus ends up saying, Mary has chosen what is better. That she shouldn't actually be worrying about what's happening, what's going on around her, but actually just enjoying that Jesus is there, actually listening to his word and growing in relationship with him. The next time we hear of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus is what we actually talked about last week in the sermon. Mary and Martha send for help for Lazarus, because Lazarus is really sick, and they send for Jesus because they have hope that Jesus can heal him, because Lazarus is dying and they don't want their brother to die, and they have such a close connection with Jesus. They're like, surely he'll come save. But Jesus doesn't come. He waits around for a few days. Lazarus dies, and things are looking pretty grim for them, and Jesus rocks up, and they can't help but be like, where were you, Jesus? Like, we asked you to come. We gave you notice. You could have gone in here in time, but you didn't. They thought he didn't care anymore, and they grieved and they wept, and things were really grim then. But Jesus went fully against what was expected and raised Lazarus from the dead. So this brings us to John chapter 12. It's just after that story. It's 6 days before the Passover, also 6 days until Jesus dies on the cross. And there's a huge dinner in Jesus' honor. There's quite a few people there. Martha was there serving. Jesus' disciples were there. And also, Lazarus was there. Lazarus, who 4 days ago, oh, sorry, for 4 days, was just dead. Lazarus was just eating, having a meal, celebrating with everyone else. Mary was also there. Mary knew who Jesus was. She had sat at Jesus' feet countless times, listening to him, hanging off every single word Jesus said. She knew the words he was preaching were true. She knew Jesus was Messiah. She couldn't help but react to this. So, Mary humbly got up, holding this really expensive bottle of perfume. She walks over to Jesus, kneels at his feet. She cracks open the perfume and pours it all over his feet, and the smell of perfume just fills the room. She glorified him, vulnerable. Her hair was out. She was wiping her hair on his feet. She was so vulnerable, because hair out is like humiliating at that time. She worshipped Jesus as the house overflowed with the fragrance of the perfume, and she just didn't care about what was going on around her. This is Mary responding to Jesus, and this is her reaction to Jesus. And this is what we're called to do in response to Jesus also. Not necessarily go to Chemist Warehouse and buy some perfume and start chucking it on the floor of the church. But we are called to radically worship Jesus despite our circumstances, despite who we are or who we are with. We are called to focus our entire being on who Jesus is. Mary had a relationship with Jesus. She grew to know him and his teachings. She encountered Jesus and couldn't help but reacting. I remember a while ago, I was quite unwell physically and mentally. I went through a phase where everything about Christianity was just too hard to believe. The fact that there was a God that loved me so much wasn't really a concept I could grasp anymore. And I just remember thinking, if this religion is true, if there actually is a God that became a man, came to earth, suffered, took on all of my sins, and died just so I could know him, this is huge. And I think when we first have those realizations about God, when we first commit ourselves to Christ, we can't help but be amazed. We can't help but worship. We can't help but be like Mary and throw perfume on his feet, because it's amazing. It's something we've never heard before, and it's exciting, and it's something that just clicks for us the first time. But suddenly the reality of the world kicks in. Suddenly we notice the people around us and how hard it actually is to be different to them. We start to focus on more tangible things. We take pride in our physical works, or we lose that amazement of who God is and what he actually has done for us. So I guess the question I'm trying to answer today is, how do we be more like Mary? How can we lose ourselves in the worship of who Christ is? The reason why I went back to the start of Mary's story is because if we began at Mary's dramatic statement of worship, there wouldn't be any meaning to it. And if we just focus on doing dramatic statements of worship for the sake of it, then there's no meaning to that either. And I know I'm subject to this. Often we get caught up in worshiping the right way. We think things like, if my prayer could just have the perfect wording, or if I could just go to that conference, or if just the right songs are played tonight, then I can worship, and then I can grow in relationship with God. But that's completely backwards. Worshiping instead should be a response to God. We should be trying to sit at Jesus' feet, trying to get to know him, try and learn about him. And then through that, worship comes as a natural response. So instead, we have to submit ourselves to God. Actually put in the effort of spiritual discipline, studying God's word through the Bible, praying to him, looking for how he lives in our works, in our lives, doing anything we can to grow in faith. Because through knowledge of God, who God is and how much he loves us and all he has done for us, it is hard not to respond in worship. John emphasizes this in the passage when Mary was so humble, convicted, and dedicated to Jesus that no personal act or was too great or too demanding for her to honor a savior. This outlook, this attitude and perspective is the kind of approach that God desires in all of his disciples. I think true worship of God is summed up nicely in Romans 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Mary, through pouring perfume onto Jesus' feet, offered her body as a living sacrifice. When I think of sacrifice, I can't help but think of this story of my friends Scott and Tim when they were skating in the city one day. The boys were skating at Hyde Park, having a good time, landing some sweet tricks, whatever you do on city skates. I know I don't skate. But suddenly, Scott's board flies out from under him and rolls away, and it's just rolling and rolling, and it's going straight towards Hyde Park Fountain. And I didn't actually know how important skateboards, like, not getting wet was before hearing the story. Turns out, like, if they get wet, they can get all warped and rusty, and you can ruin your favorite board, which can be a really hard time for a skater. And Tim doesn't do what most people, I think, in this situation would do, or at least I would do. He doesn't just, like, sort of watch and go, "Oh, no, like, what a shame, we'll buy you a new one," so try and cheer Scotty up after. Tim starts running. He sprints at this board. He is running and running, and just as the board is about to go into the fountain, Tim leaps, and he pushes back the board, mid-air, landing straight into Hyde Park Fountain. Phone in pocket, iPod in pocket. He does not care. And the thing is, that was just Tim reacting. He just saw his friend's board in need and just ran and reacted. He didn't care that he had a phone in his pocket or an iPod in his pocket or the fact that he would be in a fountain in the middle of public. He just did it. And that's awesome. And it involved financial sacrifice because RIP Tim's iPod. It involved emotional sacrifice because he just did this amazing act for his friend, and social sacrifice because, yeah, fountain in public. But, and I think this actually isn't unlike how Mary reacted to who Jesus was and sacrificed herself for him. What Mary did also took financial sacrifice, social sacrifice, and emotional sacrifice. So let's talk about the first one, financial sacrifice. The perfume that Mary poured on Jesus' feet isn't your average perfume. It's not the sort of perfume you can just get on sale at Priceline. This perfume is so special that it's like what the ballers of the Jewish world could only dream of owning. It is that special. It actually comes from the Himalayan mountains and has to be imported from India to Israel, and that's like even more expensive. Judas stands up and he's like, "That's worth 300 denarii, which is the equivalent to 300 days of pay for a well-off working man back in Jesus' day. So if we take just like $10 an hour for 300 8-hour days, it adds up to $24,000. $24,000 being poured all over Jesus' feet. Why? Because Mary knows Jesus. She knows how special he is, how loving he is. She knows he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Like Mary, everything we own comes from God. When we do what Romans 12 says to do, of offering our bodies as sacrifices to God, this includes our money and our material possessions. Giving financially to God isn't actually about how much we choose to give, but how much we choose to give back to God, the one who actually owns everything we have. Which poses a question. Are you giving in a sacrificial way? Is what you give an act of worship or just a comfortable amount? And I think this applies in all types of worship. When Someone I once was talking to in the Solomon Islands once told me, we're called to give until it hurts. It's challenging, and it can be so hard to do so, and it is impossible to do if we forget why we're giving or who to. A couple of months ago in the Solomon Islands, I attended church there. And the Solomon Islands, it's actually the second most impoverished country in the world. Most people can't afford education, food, clean water, just basic necessities. And I was there at church with a lot of people that were suffering from those problems every day. But when it came to the offering at church, people splashed cash like no tomorrow. It was awesome. They just gave. They didn't think about the fact that, hey, I might not be able to afford food tomorrow, or it'd be good if my kid had an education. They just gave to God because they trusted God with their whole life, and that was all that mattered to them. So if we're called to offer ourselves as living sacrifice, this cannot exclude our material possessions. The second form of sacrifice that Mary offered was social sacrifice. Mary sacrifices her reputation big time. Many people saw how many dollars worth of perfume Mary poured on Jesus' feet, and they all got pretty mad and confused. Judas even said out loud, why wasn't this perfume sold and given to the poor? Turns out Judas' intentions with this statement actually wasn't really good because he was really greedy with his money. But yeah, people were really confused what Mary was doing at the time. Mary honoring Jesus was actually pretty high stakes at the time too, because a whole lot of people were trying to kill Jesus. They were plotting, they were working out how they can kill Jesus. So her statement, her big act of worship to Jesus, was actually pretty spicy in the Jewish world. But she didn't care. She didn't care if it was a bit confusing for the people around her. She didn't care if people didn't actually know what she was doing or was going on, if they were annoyed that she could have spent the money elsewhere. She was worshiping, and that's what she wanted to do, and that's what she wanted, how she wanted to respond to Jesus, and that's what she felt moved to do. And nothing about her worship was circumstantial. The Bible doesn't say when she worshipped, the lighting was just right and the bridge of Hosanna was playing. Nothing circumstantial was about it. And Mary, without hesitation, just worshipped Jesus. Maybe it was a bit weird. Maybe people were a bit unsure what to think of her as a result. But if we are to worship God with our entire being, then there's definitely social sacrifice involved. If everything we do is to honour God, then of course we are going to be a bit different from the rest of the world. I was in a lecture with Mike Frost the other week, and we were discussing evangelism. And he asked some sort of a question that actually really challenged me. He said, why are we afraid to be a bit weird? At least it's interesting and might intrigue people enough to know why we're being weird. And I was actually really challenged by that, because being different to the rest of the world, by honouring God with his actions, whatever that looks like and whatever circumstance, maybe if we are doing that, then maybe people actually receive a glimpse of God's love working in our lives, and maybe they might be intrigued. Maybe they might be a bit curious and start asking questions of, why has that person got that going on in their lives? So when Mary worshipped, the people around her were confused and annoyed. But then something awesome happens. Jesus, the Messiah, looks down at her. She loves her. He loves her. He sees what she is doing and then sees the people reacting around her. And he stands up for her. And I think this is a reminder that if we are going to worship God in everything we do when we're sacrificing, sometimes it's going to sort of suck. Sometimes we won't understand why we're doing certain things and it won't feel worth it. But we can have hope that it is all worth it, because like Mary, God sees us and loves us too. So Mary's third element of sacrifice was emotional sacrifice. Mary took out her hair. And this was a big deal then. This was humiliating to do in front of others in Jewish culture. She exposed who she was to Jesus and to the people around her. Also, she didn't sit next to Jesus. She didn't stand above Jesus. She sat at Jesus' feet, which I think is a real testament to how aware she was of how unworthy she was to be in the presence of the Messiah. She poured her greatest value she owned all over his feet as an act of worship. And this is the sort of honesty we are called to have in our relationships with God. Worship takes great vulnerability. Worship isn't just an act of happiness and contentment. It's a pure act of vulnerability and emotional sacrifice. The world is broken. Life can be hard, and sometimes we get in stages of life where it just feels like one bad thing happens another after another, and it doesn't stop. If worship takes entire sacrifice of self, this means the bad emotions as well as the good. We talk about the book of Psalms a lot as lots of people worshipping. And we always talk about such joyous psalms. They're probably the most common we talk about. But there's actually this whole other genre, psalms of lament. And lament psalms are actually the biggest category of psalms in the Bible. And what they really are is just a whole lot of people pouring out their hearts to God, pouring out their sorrows, giving it all over to God. For example, Psalm 142 beginning is, "With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him." Crying out to God is biblical. Jesus cries out to God even when he asks, my God, why have you forsaken me?" as he suffers on the cross. A deep relationship with God means an honest relationship with God, and I think that's sort of applies to every relationship. You're not going to have a good relationship with someone with every time they ask how you are, you just say, "Good," and you just move on. You're not going to have a good relationship with someone if you're not going to share and be honest with them. And that sort of leads to the idea that vulnerability in worship also applies to community together. Matthew 18:20 says, "For when two or more gather in my name, there I am with them." There is a reason why we come to church, why we do communion, why we put on various events such as church after party. It's to worship in community, to worship together, united as God's people. Whether that's when we sing together, whether that's when in the chats after the service, whether that's when we go to HPH after the service, whatever, we are worshiping in community as God's people. In this worship, we are called to be vulnerable together. So that just applies with the, when someone asks how you are and you're not good, maybe tell them. Or if you are good, tell them too, and maybe tell them why. We need to start going past surface level and be vulnerable with each other, because we are called to be united as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not here by coincidence. We're not here just as we're not just a random bunch of people. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's a connection deeper than anything else. So we're called to love together, pray together, and worship together. How are we meant to grow together as a community if we can't even be honest with each other? Healthy vulnerability with one another is supposed to bring comfort and healing as we support one another, pray over one another, and love one another. Worship is the sacrifice of self to God. It takes financial sacrifice, social sacrifice, and emotional sacrifice. Mary took all she had and gave it to Jesus, the Messiah. She didn't care of repercussions. She just knew Jesus and couldn't help but worshiping. Because the more we know about God, the easier it is to trust him, and the more it makes sense to devote our lives to him. The full sacrifice of self is challenging. It's so easy to allow God to have some parts of our lives, but not others, to let one part of our life be worship of God and the other part be worship of things of the world. So the question I really want to ask tonight is, are you living a life of sacrifice to God in worship? Tonight I've talked a lot about community as a large part of worship, which is convenient because we're going to go into communion soon. I've also talked a lot about worship as a response to knowing Jesus. Mary learnt from Jesus. She heard from Jesus and saw him at work in his life, and that's how she knew Jesus. And you might be at a time in your life where you're thinking, that's great, but it's not so easy for me. You might feel like you're putting all this effort into your faith, but you're not seeing God work in your life. And that's okay, and that's normal, and I think that's a thing that everyone goes through as a Christian. Though the thing about these situations is, you got to try and remember the certainty we have about Jesus for hope and perseverance. Because because before we even thought about sacrificing ourselves to God, God sacrificed himself for us. He died so we don't have to. So as we do communion, do it in remembrance of God. As we drink the grape juice, symbolizing his blood, and as we eat the bread, symbolizing his flesh, reflect on Christ's sacrifice and look forward to his return. For every time we gather around bread and wine, in church or in our homes, we should remember Jesus is the one who provides all we need. Communion is a beautiful act of worship that is so important that we do together. So when we do communion, I really encourage you to reflect on yourself and reflect for this for yourself. But also, if you feel called to pray for someone, if you feel called this service to pray for someone, pray over someone, because it's really important that we pray together as brothers and sisters in Christ. There's going to also be a prayer team up the back just for the rest of the service, just in the corner. Feel free to go find someone there if you don't really know who you want to pray with or if you want prayer over something in particular. So I'm going to do prayer now and then come up and get your bread. So let's pray.